It's now time for our open forum. This is the opportunity for the public to comment on petitions, proposals, and other items, and our staff attorney, John Kotelnik, will take over from here. Mr. Kotelnik, I'll let you take the mic.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, John Kotelnik, staff attorney. Again, as Madam Chair has alluded to, this is the open forum portion of our commission meeting. There is no public hearing because there are no rules that are going to be finalized. And what finalized means is there are no rules that are going to be changed at this meeting. So I understand that there was some comments that were submitted to the department about concerns of the agenda being posted later than the comment period would allow. However, what I would suggest to those individuals wishing to continue to comment on the items that are on this agenda, they will remain on this agenda for the September meeting, because that's when those rules would be potentially changed if the commission so chose to do so. So with that being said, again, this is the open forum portion of our meeting. We have quite a few people signed up, so the time allotment is 3 minutes. Be mindful, I will give you a 30-second warning. If you go beyond the 3 minutes and it's determined it need be, we will mute your mic. So with that being said, Julie Anderson, are you online? All right, go ahead, Julie.
Okay. My name's Julie Anderson, and I would like to speak regarding the late postings by Game Fish and Parks for your meeting, and I know you just talked about that, but the 72-hour letter submission deadline had already passed before the agenda for both June and now July were posted. I had checked Sunday morning, and the agenda for today's meeting was not up. Apparently, it went up later that day, but this is not meeting the protocol is set by this agency. Also, the mountain lion petitions were not posted on Sunday when I checked a second time. I'd like to know when these petitions were posted on the agenda and why there's no deadline for submitting these petitions so that people may comment on them with the time needed for review and study. Also, regarding population of mountain lions, one of the petitioners claimed South Dakota has an abundant lion population that is growing and that more lions are venturing into town. He does not know if there's a growing population or if the lion sightings are due to more backyard cameras, the development that is going on all over the Black Hills area, if there are mountain lions coming over from heavily hunted areas in Wyoming and Montana, or if these are juvenile lions who have no hunting skills because their mother was killed by trophy hunters. As to the petition, I have a question regarding petition number 195. Is this a trial pursuit season for study only, or is it to kill lions also? Also regarding petition number 194's reason for opening up the Black Hills for hound hunting, it states to build a relationship with Game Fish and Parks and to help with harvest. Since the beginning of the mountain lion season, Game Fish and Parks has been closely aligned with the South Dakota houndsmen by first allowing hound hunting, then allowing hound hunting on the prairie, then allowing hound hunting on public land if the chase starts on private land, and now they want hound hunting in the Black Hills. I'd say that relationship does not really need any more building. Also, I think the houndsmen and women in this state have been given more than ample opportunity to trophy hunt lions. Also, bighorn sheep and mountain goats face more loss of population due to disease than lions, making the petitioner's reason for the rule change null and void. Regarding the Nest Predator Bounty Program, this program was rammed through with no public comment. Most people oppose the killing of animals for fun and paying youth $10 to do it, and it is setting a violent precedent for young people when you reward killing for tradition and fun family outdoor activities, and then give them the means to do it by supplying children with traps and knives. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. The next individual I have signed up is Bruce Schaefer.
Hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Okay. I got a question about the out-of-state fishing license price and the out-of-state hunting license price. My question is, why are all these fishermen allowed to come in for 365 days a year $67 a year, and a non-resident pheasant hunter is only allowed to hunt 10 days for $121. In my opinion, you kind of have this backwards. For instance, the Missouri River is kind of a public water, and where we're pheasant hunting on our hunting preserves and our private land, why are you making them even pay a fee in the first place, let alone twice as much, and only allowing them 10 days of hunting?
Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. Unfortunately, during the open forum, it's not a back and forth dialogue. If you do wish to continue some of these conversations, I suggest you reach out to GFMP staff, or we can have staff certainly reach out to you, or you can reach out into individual commissioners to have those conversations. But unfortunately, the open forum is not the forum to have that dialogue.
Okay, well, that's fine, but I definitely think it's something that the commissioners ought to talk about without, you know, me having to personally call them. I just told you my opinion, and I think it ought to be brought up. If it's not brought up between them and not changed, is this something that can be petitioned and put to a vote for changing the prices, or is this all set by the commission?
Again, yes, you were correct in the petition process. So if you wish to have something changed in rule, namely the fee of a non-resident fishing license, that could be done through a petition process, or again, working with the department or other commissioners.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next individual I've signed up is Brett Weibel.
Good afternoon, Commission. I have a hunting lodge in western South Dakota. I deal with 15 landowners in 5 counties for prairie turkey in spring. With this new petition, 90% of my hunters are non-resident, of course. We already have issues getting tags for our hunters. With this new petition, the third drawing, only give one license, so the first license, you'll get 8% allotted tags for non-resident. Third license, all of a sudden you're going to go, one tag is all you're going to allow. Then you go to the fourth drawing. This year, the fourth drawing was 2 weeks before the license. You guys talked about issues getting tags already. It's going to get worse. You're going to put all these tags on the fourth drawing, who hasn't done draw a tag. That system will crash. Who's going to get, where are the license going to go? How are they going to figure it out? I don't get how that's going to even happen. It's sad. It's the same thing we dealt with deer tags 2 years ago. Got 6,000 acres, no tags. Same thing's gonna happen again and again and again. You guys gotta do something for non-residents and figure it out. They bring a lot of revenue in this state. Sad.
Thank you, Mr. Weibel. Next person I have is Jason Krall. Yes, sir, we can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. My name is Jason Crawl. I live in Yankton County. I just wanted to voice my concern over the turkey application system. Looking at this, it seems like it is a resident versus non-resident kind of thing. I truly enjoy turkey hunting. I'm not originally from South Dakota. I went to SDSU and got a job here, and the unique opportunities that South Dakota provide is what kept me here in South Dakota. I don't want to see the applications going down to one. I guess I could see a modification of dropping it from 5 to 4 to 3, but I want to make sure that residents have more of an opportunity to get these turkey tags versus non-residents. And I just don't want to see things, you know, the system going for, you know, catering to outfitters and non-residents versus residents. It just seems like this proposal, based on what the numbers are claiming with the 1,279 hunters, not being allowed to get turkey pigs just because hunters can get multiple pigs come the third round just doesn't quite make sense to me. I think it more comes down to not knowing how to apply for a tag, not understanding the system, and or applying for certain counties or areas that have limited draws. When they say that 1,200 or 1,280 people don't get the opportunity to, you know, get a turkey tag. I think the numbers are fudged a little bit here. I just want to make sure, like I said, that, that it just comes down to residents versus non-residents and who the commission wants to cater to. You know, it'd be sad to see it going like pheasant hunting and now what waterfowl's going to, where if you're allowing more non-residents to come into the state, which is great, don't get me wrong, I know they bring in a lot of funds, but so do the residents. If I get a turkey tag, you know, one East River, and then I get multiple turkey tags in West River, I'm traveling out there, I'm spending gas in the state, I'm buying hotels and food when I get out there, same thing as a non-resident, you know, when you get multiple turkey tags. Now, I'm not saying I want to get all the turkey tags myself. I hunt myself, yes, but I take out 20, 30, 40 different people every year. I'm trying to introduce people, more people into the world of turkey hunting and just the outdoors in general. So I'm not saying I want, you know, several different hunters to have all the tags. I want, you know, I want to increase the opportunity for everybody, but I don't think this proposal is cracked up to what it's meant to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krall. Next person I have is Foster Bartholow.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Perfect. My name is Foster Bartholow from Rapid City, South Dakota here. Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roblin, thank you guys and I appreciate your time today. So I'm gonna expand a little bit of what Jason just talked about, and that's on the turkey proposal. First off, I wanna bring this up. I don't think the prairie antelope should be included on that, but that's another discussion later on. So this looks to me like a easy way for the state to generate some additional funds, basically from taking resident opportunity away and giving that into non-resident opportunity hands. And you're gonna be selling more tags to non-residents, which already in the third draw are creating 2/3 of the sales. And so if you take away more opportunity from residents to get those tags, if you have 2/3 of the sales already going to non-residents, more of those sales are going to go to non-residents in the third draw. And so I really don't want to see that happen with the guise of more opportunity for unique hunters. I'm all about people hunting the state, but I don't want to see what's happening in other states where they're having to shut down their non-resident opportunity because they simply don't have turkeys left over. We see that happening right now in Nebraska, where a few other states where they're either limiting their non-residents or completely putting a cap on it and taking opportunity away. So that being said, if we look at the opportunity from first and second draw, and this is where the stats in the proposal are a little weird, when you say about 1,300 people aren't being able to have the opportunity to get a tag because 300 hunters are taking those opportunities away, I just want to look at the actual stats where you have about 2,600 tags left over in the first draw, about 2,000 tags left over in the second draw, and 266 tags left over in the third draw. So there's opportunity, but not everybody wants to travel the state. And that's one thing that I want to expand with what Jason just said, is that there are people out there that definitely do want to expand and travel, but not everyone wants to do that. And so I don't think that if there's limited access within the first and second draw for East River tags. And so trying to say, hey, these people can't get a tag just simply isn't true when there's only so many tags available, right? Like we're not gonna go and look at Custer State Park where you have a 7% chance of drawing that tag and complain about that. That's just part of it. And we know if you go in and I guess what I'm trying to say with this is if you look at the stats and you know how to apply, it's very beneficial, but we shouldn't just be giving away tags to everybody, like I said, under the guise of more opportunity for unique hunters. So really quickly, I just want to bring it up that again, I don't want to see the opportunity from for us in state gets taken away. I don't want to see our turkeys suffer in the long run either, but we have friends coming from out of state as well, and I know when they come out, they enjoy the opportunity to hunt a couple places throughout the state. So please don't take away that opportunity. I don't feel like this proposal is going to be anything in South Dakota's best interest, and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Next person I have signed up is Corey Jonas. Corey, are you out there online? We'll check back. The next person I have signed up is Josh Rosenau.
Good afternoon, Chair Ressler and Commissioners. My name is Josh Rosenau. I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Mountain Lion Foundation, and I live in Washington State, but I'm excited to speak with you today. I'm speaking on behalf of our members in South Dakota and our thousands of members nationwide who want to see mountain lions managed according to the best science and in a way that allows these animals to serve their crucial role on our wildlands. Because your mountain lions in South Dakota are some of the easternmost breeding populations in the nation, South Dakota is a crucial state for this species. Your responsible management of the species doesn't just ensure ecological balance and safe coexistence in South Dakota, but will allow the species to recolonize more states in the plains and in time the Midwest. Throughout the West, mountain lion populations are facing increasing hunting quotas and declining prey populations. That combination is especially dangerous for a species like mountain lions that moves over such large distances. South Dakota's mountain lions come from Wyoming, Montana, Nebraska, and North Dakota, and in turn migrate to those states to support their populations. Several of those states have recently raised their hunting quotas, even as mule deer and other ungulate populations have suffered due to drought, wildfire, and harsh winters, among other factors. The combination of these pressures on mountain lions risks the integrity of that multi-state population. Increased hunting pressure in South Dakota, including through new hound hunting seasons or changes in quotas, would further add to that stress. I would ask that the Commission maintain or even lower quotas in the Black Hills and move toward managing and limiting the hunt in other areas of the state where there are breeding populations, including around the Pine Ridge Reservation and Rosebud Reservation. Already, the rate at which females are hunted in the Black Hills has them at the limit of maintaining that population, according to the staff report that's part of this meeting packet. Lowering the female subquota in the Black Hills would ensure the stability of that population and the ability of mountain lions to continue their eastward spread. A best practice would be a female subquota of 20 to 25% of the total quota. Because hunting is not necessary to control mountain lion population sizes, lowering quotas would not lead to overpopulation. Research throughout the U.S. and Canada has also shown that hunting can actually increase conflict with people and livestock, so reducing quotas could ultimately mean less conflict, as well as healthier ecosystems in South Dakota and in the other states that rely on South Dakota's cats for the health of their own ecosystems. I'd be happy to follow up on the petitions that you're considering and the proposal for the hunting regulations in more detail with staff or any interested commissioners after the meeting. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenau. The next person I have signed up is Ms. Nancy Hilding.
Hi, Nancy Hilding here. I'm speaking for Prairie Hills Audubon Society. This is my first comment. I would very much like to record on Zoom the mountain lion presentation that the staff will give. When I attempted to do that, it said I had to get permission of Liz Keel. I quite frequently would like to record sections of the Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting, so I hope you will figure out a protocol and a way for people to do that on Zoom to record sections of your meeting. Okay, I next want to point out that there are 49 days between June 20th and the first, I think it's September 7th, which is not 60 days, and you have had a policy of having 60 days between a proposal and a finalization, which you can't have if you move from July 20th to, I think it's September 7th. Okay, and I particularly request that the finalization for the mountain lions does not happen in Watertown, but happens in Deadwood. You have had a policy in the past of having the mountain lion finalizations happen in the Black Hills because this is so specific to Black Hills. So now I'm going to try to focus actually on hound hunting, because that's what the petitions are about. Prairie Hills Audubon objects to hound hunting because we think it's cruel for both the animals, the hounds, and the mountain lions. And we are especially concerned in the prairie where there may be no trees or rocks for them to get up to, so you're not having a conflict between the lions and the hounds. We are afraid or concerned that hound hunting is more effective. The hunters will get a lion, have a better chance at getting a lion. This creates unfair competition with the blue hunters, who quite frequently often object to hound hunting. But it also creates a problem where you're looking at your charts and the Game Fish and Parks staff is telling you if you only kill 25 female lions, you'll stay within your 200 to 300 objective for lions. But if you go above that, up to 40 lions, then you're going to tank and get below the 230. So when these hound hunter petitions are wanting to go in the Black Hills and they're adding to the harvest limit, you are going to be getting very close to your 40 lion, the 40 females.
30 seconds remaining.
Okay, so there's also fair chase, trespass issues, and we didn't fully understand the petitions. They're kind of unclear. But I don't know what they mean by outfitters for profit. And we are very concerned about allowing pursuit of lions in the wintertime, that this will create a lot of stress, particularly on mothers with children. And we object entirely and totally to the concept of pursuit with lions. And we really didn't understand quite all of those petitions, so I hope they will explain what they meant.
Okay, can you please wrap up your testimony?
So we object to hound hunting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hilding.
Yep.
The next person I have is Finn Sackerson.
Commission, Madam Chair, Secretary Loveland, thank you. I'm Finn Sackerson. I've been born and raised in South Dakota. Well, Bowman, North Dakota, so pretty close to South Dakota. I've been a sportsman in South Dakota my whole life. And within the last 10 years, I've become very involved in hound hunting. And it has been just an outstanding opportunity to spend time outdoors. Whenever we're out hunting hounds, it's not one guy. It's a group. Last night, we were raccoon hunting, and we had kids with us, little kids. We're taking them out. We're experiencing them. They're spending time outdoors. It's a great opportunity to introduce people that have never spent time outdoors and taking little kids and having that, especially like our kids, where they're taking care of these dogs and helping us and raising puppies and all that stuff. These dogs are very well in control. There's several many people that have been around my dogs and seen that my dogs will lay in the corner of this building for hours on end and not be a bother, not hurt nothing. And those are the same dogs I hunt with. It's the misconceptions related around modern hound hunting are very construed. The equipment we have with the satellite tracking collars and the ability to control these dogs, and that by and large, most of these dogs, you wouldn't know any difference if you seen them in the hallway of this hotel, whether that was a mountain lion dog or it was somebody's pet. I just want you to consider these things whenever we go forward with these mountain lion petitions, that these dogs are not forced to do this. This is what they love to do. They love to hunt. They're from the day they're born till the day they die. They love to hunt. That's what they want to do, and they enjoy it. Nobody's forcing them to do anything. You can take a 6-week-old puppy, and they will go trail things. We're not hurting them. We're not making them do this. This is something they want to do. So I just ask that we can have a serious look at this mountain lion situation and maybe give the houndsmen and men and women some opportunity here in this state, because right now we're leaving the state. We're all going Montana, Utah, Wyoming, and we're not able to take our kids. We're not able to take our families. Let's bring that opportunity home, where we can go out on a Saturday morning with some good snow and have that opportunity here in the Black Hills. The opportunities we have in this state, Custer, that opportunity very seldom ends up being somebody that owns dogs. That opportunity more often than not is somebody that does not own dogs that recruits a houndsman to come and help them. The houndsmen very seldom get that opportunity. The prairie tags, all the greatest hound hunt or the mountain
15
lion
seconds remaining
in the state is not allowed to us, whether it's on the prairie or in Black Hills. The best hound hunt or the best mountain lion hunting in the state, we don't get an opportunity at.
Thank you. Next person I have signed up is Patrick Weimer. And Mr. Weimer, I understand you also submitted the petition, so do you wish to speak both in the open forum and during your petition?
So my petition was solely based on a pursuit season that I would like to see South Dakota adopt. Kind of like what Finn was saying, the opportunities for the houndsmen in South Dakota are really slim to none. A lot of the opportunities that we do have are hoping to get a phone call that someone might have a cat that you can go run or pursue. It's very few and far in between. A lot of us travel out of state. I just spent the weekend over in Utah working with their pursuit season for bear. And what a pursuit season essentially is what we like to call a tree and free. We track the animal, we tree the animal, and we do what we enjoy. We take photos of the animal, we enjoy time with our family, our friends, our dogs, and we let the animal go. I believe that having a pursuit season in South Dakota, it will benefit the population and such as, like, you know, this year I've seen more cats in town than I ever have before. I live in Spearfish, South Dakota. We had a female raising two kittens that continuously kept coming into one of the trailer parks. Everybody kept asking, hey, where are my cats going? You know, we know that female was feeding her kittens those cats. I think having lions being pursued by by hounds themselves, it enforces that fear back into them that, you know, these are the places we don't want to go. We stay away from homes, we stay away from human residents, and, you know, they stay in the areas that they're supposed to, and we still get to enjoy them. You know, personally, I don't ever really care to kill a lion. I've taken one in my life. I don't care to take another. I get the sole enjoyment out of the pursuit and training my dogs from a puppy to the standpoint of being a finished hound. There's a lot more behind it than what people think it is. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours into these dogs. It's not I pheasant hunt and I go grab my gun and I go out for the 3 months, 4 months a season. I am doing this every single day. I've got 7 hounds at my house that I have to feed and exercise on the daily in order to keep them in shape to even do these things. Like I said, we're traveling out of state, and South Dakota is some of the best lion hunting in the nation, in all reality. You know, we have an opportunity to do something great. I think having it where we can solely do it with in-state houndsmen and that type of stuff, we can keep it where our numbers are where they are. I don't believe they're extremely inclining or declining at this time, and we're doing a great job at it, but I would like to be able to see the houndsmen in the state have an opportunity to enjoy the things that we enjoy, you know.
15 seconds remaining.
In light of the pursuit season, I would like to see that maybe looked into as allowing tags to the houndsmen. I think a 20% number would be great. It gives us the opportunity where we don't have to go hunt for somebody else in Custer State Park. We can pursue with our own dogs for our own tag and have the enjoyment of South Dakota. You know, we've got a great opportunity here, and I think we're missing out on a lot of stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeremy Wells, I understand you also submitted a petition, but you also wish to speak to the forum, in the open forum?
Yes, please. Chair, Secretary Robling, Commission. I guess I'm just going to support Patrick's on this little segment. My biggest purpose of that, I think, would be to support Game Fish and Parks and their DNA testing, and with this pursuit season, have a 30-day opportunity. Typically in December is when they do their studies and stuff, and I've talked to Kanta a little bit with this already, and he was he had suggested a few things and about how to move forward with it. My notes are terrible, so. And I could also see this turning into an opportunity with the problem cats, as Patrick said. And then with the dogs, it's a 365-day commitment. Yet, like Patrick said, you feed them, you exercise them, and then we leave and we go to Montana, we go to Wyoming. I just went to Wisconsin where we treed 5 bears in 3 days, and every tree, the kids were there, the pups were there. I'd just like to see that opportunity come home, come to South Dakota. That's about all I have. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wells. We'll go back to Corey Jonas. Corey Jonas, are you online? All right. Is there anyone else that wishes to give testimony in the open forum that has not already done so, either online or in the room? Hearing none, Madam Chair, that would conclude the open forum portion of this meeting.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mr. Kotelnik. Thanks to everybody who did send in their comments on the various issues that you talked with us today. It is important to hear from the public what you're thinking. We do pay attention, we listen, and we're here to try to be a voice, be a liaison between the department and the public. So thank you all for stepping up and showing up.